We're live from the Florida Blue practice fields just outside of Everbank Field. It's 2014 training camp on Jaguars.com. JP Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Hey, it's finally here, John.
It's crazy. We got the music going. If you saw a minute ago, I was slapping on a little sunscreen, JP, which probably wasn't a pretty sight for you.
You might want to lather on a little more. It's going to be a long few weeks out here for you. Here are the Jaguars this week. Of course, training camp begins. The expectations, we'll get to those. What are they for this team this year? And tremendous camp battles, a number of those here in this 2014 training camp. Here's how you can get in: at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Osher's with us now. Felix McGath, the manager of Fulham Football Club, scheduled to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get some thoughts about the friendly tomorrow. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior NFL columnist, will join us around 10:30 or so. Brian Sexton, senior correspondent, coming up too. So a jam-packed show, John.
And JP, I was in with Dave Caldwell with a couple of the writers earlier, so I'm really just getting out here. Good crowd, great environment for the first day. I was kind of running and a little breathless, but this is sort of what you'd expect if it's a neat environment.
Let's get into that meeting today. The writers sat down with Dave Caldwell today. Well, it was the first time before camp to really sit down with a GM. First time in a while to sit down with a GM, right?
Well, and it was a casual thing. I mean, we were asking about the position battles and some of his thoughts on the team. You could really tell that he is much happier with the roster and with where they're at. And sort of the thing he led off with was he's really looking forward to some of the position battles, and he thinks there's a lot of spots, wide receiver, linebacker, safety, cornerback, where there's more good players than there are spots. He didn't blast last year's roster, but said, you know, clearly that's a little different than last year. So he likes that situation, and you get the idea that there's some real live battles going to take place for the end of the roster. He also said, which he said a couple of times, that he's not sure or pretty sure that there's not going to be that flurry of adding guys right after the last preseason game this team had last year. He didn't come out and say, hey, this is our team, we're on the court. He didn't pull the Gene Hackman in Hoosiers.
Right.
But he very much gave the feeling that this roster is in a lot better shape than it was this time last year, which you would expect after two off seasons.
That's really the goal. You get a big draft class in last year, you go into free agency, pick some spots, followed up with another strong draft class, and of course this draft class led by quarterback Blake Bortles, and I'm sure there were some questions about Blake's status today.
Well, there was, and you know, something that's sort of been, I guess, more and more gearing toward this, but Dave talked about it a little bit, is that Blake Bortles right now, everybody knows Chad Henne's the starter. There's been a little question, is Blake definitely the guy going in? Is he the backup, or do you have Ricky Stanzi available for that? He was asked a couple of times, and Blake's the backup. If Chad would happen to get hurt, which they're not expecting, Blake's the guy who's going to go in, and it sounds like that would happen fairly immediately. So there's not really a hedging of bets in terms of, oh, boy, we've got to keep a veteran quarterback around. We need somebody in case Blake's not ready. Blake's going to be the backup quarterback. That raises the question, you know, how ready is he going to be for that early? It certainly puts the onus on him to be ready for that early.
And it makes you think they'd only keep two quarterbacks on the roster, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. With Stanzi was available this time, or at the end of the offseason last year. So there would be the school of thought that if something happens where you need to go get a Ricky Stanzi, that you could probably go get a Ricky Stanzi. Although all reports are he's looked very good in the offseason. So I think he's a guy that they don't want to cut ties with because you like having quarterbacks who know the system and know what's going on, and you never know what's going to happen during training camp.
But it's the first day of training camp, John. Remember.
Yeah.
We got a lot of camp to go.
And we're doing a little shouting in the background.
Yeah, a lot of shouting. Music's loud. The team is stretching behind us. We're live from the Florida Blue practice fields. Jaguars.com live. Felix McGath from Fulham coming up. Pete Prisco and Brian Sexton as well.
John. Here's a scoop for you.
Yes.
New improved speakers, JP. Out on the right,
That's an upgrade.
I don't know if that's been, no more, heavy bass. Maybe they have a subwoofer over there. Who knows?
They probably have a few of them.
Exactly.
It sounds like they have a few. Let's get to, you know, some of this. What are we going to watch today? First couple days in, there's no pads yet. Pads go on for the first time, I believe, Sunday and Monday night down at Bartram Trail, pads and shorts. First couple of days, what do you want to see out here?
Well, everybody's going to watch the quarterbacks. It's fun to watch quarterbacks no matter if pads are on or not. So you watch that. I want to see Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson. They're going to be the second, third guys that complement the defensive shorts, however you want to do that. Dave talked a little that Allen is going to play, I'm looking through my notes here. Marquise, with the absence of Ace Sanders, mm-hmm. is going to get some work at slot and some work at all the receiver positions. So with them not participating in OTAs, you want to see how up to speed they are, how ready they are. When there's been a physical issue in the offseason, you want to see those guys actually be out there. And secondary, you want to see them come back the second day, the third day. So, you know, health, they are cleared. You want to see those guys that you haven't seen in the offseason stay cleared, stay practicing that first week, and be able to get the stuff under their belt that they need to get going for the season.
It will be interesting to watch that wide receiver room shake out. You know, Cecil Shorts the third, top guy, the other two rookies, Lee and Robinson, and who's going to be that fourth receiver? That'll be a question all camp.
And I think they, you know, when you watch Robinson, you know what he can do. He's going to start off in the X position. They feel like he's a guy who can take advantage of matchups with his size. He can do a lot. He was drafted behind Marquise. But you just sort of get the idea that they sort of know what they have in Allen Robinson, and they feel good that he's a guy whose physical tools are going to translate well pretty quickly.
JP Shadrick with John Oser, Jaguars.com, live from 2014 training camp. First practice is underway. Stretch is done. They'll go into some special teams work and then into individual positional drills as well. Felix McGath from Fulham just a couple of minutes away from joining us here.
Well, and we talked a little bit, JP, about Blake. But the story of the quarterback position for the immediate short term remains Chad Henne. And I think, you know, it's hard to know. People watching this, it's hard to know what they've seen in the offseason. A lot of people here saw practices in the offseason. So they may have seen that version of Chad Henne that all the players and the front office people were talking about, a more confident Chad Henne, a guy who knows he's the quarterback, at least for the short term. He's playing that role. He's ready for that role. He's deep into his career now. He's probably at his peak in terms of being comfortable in the NFL. All his physical tools are there. So what you want to watch for from Chad Henne is a guy who looks like the starting quarterback. That's not going to be the case forever. Dave basically said today, when it's time, the progression for Blake is basically when his maturity reaches a point and when the team is ready for him to be the guy, you know, step in and be the guy. They hope that this is 16 games this season for Chad. So you want Chad to look like he's a guy who can handle that for the whole season. From listening to people around here, they certainly think that he is.
And even Chad said it yesterday. Yeah, it is a little different, this feeling sure. of being the starter, at least around here, because the last 2 years has been competition going into camp and Blaine's ended up being the guy.
Well, for most of his career, it's been that way. That's Chad's right. always sort of been in a quarterback battle. The thing that really strikes you about Chad, and you've been around him, is how well he handles whatever situation he's in.
Right.
He was not in an easy situation coming in with Gabbert. He's not in an easy situation now. This is not easy, knowing that you're going to be the guy, but you also know the clock's ticking. I mean, let's be realistic. He's not going to be the starter here, you know, barring something very unforeseen in 2016. So he's got a limited amount of time to be the guy. Now, who knows what that means for his future? In the NFL, the future can happen very quickly. But he's a guy who always handles the situation right. If Blake comes in and is the guy in 5 weeks, you know Chad will handle that well. If Chad's the guy all season, he'll handle that well too. So that was a big reason why they looked at this guy in the offseason and said, we need to have him back. He's very valuable.
Jaguars.com live. John, we'll get back with you in just a moment. Pete Prisco's
I'm getting booted. 10 minutes in and I'm booted.
You're getting booted.
That's
by
right.
a soccer manager.
I can handle it. I'm man enough to handle it, JP.
We're here live on Jaguars.com. How are you? Felix McGath joining us, the manager of Fulham Football Club. Stand right over here, Felix. It's great to see you and thanks
nice
for your time
you.
Today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Yeah, wonderful weather. Yeah, sunny day and impressing football session.
Tell us about the differences of this place and Craven Cottage. A little different here, right?
It is a little different. Here is a little bit bigger than Craven Cottage. Yeah, but Craven Cottage is very nice, very cozy. and with a lot of history, and here's a tremendous place, yeah, great stadium, and yeah, I like it very much.
Tell us about your football club and where they stand going into this friendly. Are you guys ready to go for tomorrow night?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we are in the preseason now, and we started at the 9th of August, our new season, and we have a lot of work done at the last weeks. So we are prepared for tomorrow, and we will show that we maybe not as good as the teams in the World Cup, but we will show you that we can play football, soccer very well, and we have a young, ambitious team, and I look forward. I'll be glad to be here.
Felix McGath, the manager of Fulham Football Club, with us. They'll play the friendly tomorrow night inside Everbank Field against DC United, followed by the scoreboard unveiling and the Carrie Underwood concert as well. So this friendly coming up, what's on the schedule after this game coming up?
After the game, we go into training camp. Mm-hmm. We go back to Europe, to Austria. Mm-hmm. And there we spend 8 days together and make the last work for our season. Then we go back to London and start it at the 9th of August with our season.
Felix, what's been the most difficult part of the change in leagues this year? What's the most difficult part of changing levels of soccer?
Oh, you see, you have always a problem that you have to adapt to the new level. And so it will be a challenge for us to go in this league, because there are a lot of more games, and the players are physically very strong, and mm-hmm. we have to take care that we fight against the others like they will fight us.
Last question for you, Felix. Who should we watch for tomorrow night? Who are some of your star players that fans in Jacksonville should watch for tomorrow night?
Oh, we have a lot of very good players, international players. We have a Colombian, Hugo Rodallega, and a Venezuelan guy, Fernando Amorvieta. And we have some young. We have a very, very interesting American young player, Emerson Hindman. He is, for me, coming American soccer player. I'm convinced that he will play in 4 years for America in the World Cup. And then we have maybe the best talent in England, Pat Roberts, a 70-year-old boy who has won the European championship 4 weeks ago with his team. And he is very skillful, and you will see they are very, very impressing with dribblings and playing style, and they both have a great future.
Felix, we appreciate your time, and enjoy your time here in Jacksonville. Good luck tomorrow night. Thank you.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Felix McGath joining us, the manager of Fulham Football Club, on Jaguars.com Live. John Osier coming back to join us now, Jaguars.com senior writer. And Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, coming up in just a few minutes here from Jaguars Training Camp 2014.
Can I come back now, JP?
Yeah, you're
back
now. Felix, let's talk a little American football.
All right, good deal. That.
Always good to visit, though, with the folks coming in. The Fulham Football Club are here.
And, again, what a neat thing. You know, you're sitting here, you know, you're watching training camp practice. You're talking to, the Fulham coach. The boards are going up. I mean, it's really hard to set the entire scene here. There's so much going on this weekend. You know, I covered this team for a long time in the 90s. Can't really remember a weekend quite like this.
We'll get with Brian Sexton a little bit later about some of the history behind a weekend like this and how important this weekend really is for the future of this franchise.
And I guess we're saddled with Prisco here in a few minutes, too.
Scheduled to join us. Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist, CBSSports.com, scheduled to join us any moment when he arrives. And we'll get his thoughts on where this team could be mm-hmm. at the end of the season. You never know. It's the first day of training camp. You're looking out now towards the offensive line, the wide receivers, and the quarterbacks are in the middle of this field one, offensive line nearest us, field two. Right now it's special teams work, and then they'll split up into offensive and defensive groups in a little bit. Another intriguing battle in camp, John, is obviously that right guard spot. Mm-hmm. It's something that Gus initially said was the first camp that he mentioned at the end of the offseason
right.
program is a first battle he mentioned. So obviously it's of vital importance to this team to find a right guard, whether it's Linder or McClendon. Those are the top two guys.
Well, and when you look, it's funny. It's a very uncertain offensive line overall. And I don't say uncertain, but it's unknown. You know, you've got Jokel. You've got Beatles, who everybody has sort of said, okay, those are the guys. Well, we haven't seen them work together in a preseason game yet.
Right.
So it's very new, but you feel good there. Austin Pastor, they really like. Dave Caldwell just now just talked a lot about Austin Pastor again. He's a guy they feel like is going to be their right tackle. And they like Brewster. So, again, who's at the center position? It goes back to what we've talked about for the last few weeks. Linder or McClendon, a right guard, you just can't help but think that they're going to go with Linder at some point because they drafted him. They traded up in the third round to get him. He's a guy they clearly liked and thought was that last available guy who they really thought could start. You didn't want to put him in the lineup automatically. You don't have to bring a third-round rookie and say, yes, you're the starter. Nobody else is right now except the receivers who are kind of forced to be there. So I'd be surprised if Linder's not the starter. I'll say it over and over again. But with the offensive line, as everybody knows, all of this is great. All of what we've seen is great. All the writing, all the stuff on paper, all the coaches talk. The offensive line and defensive line still have to play games and figure out what's going on out there.
JP Shadrick with John Osier from Jaguars Training Camp 2014. Individual position drills about to begin right out in front of us. Fantastic crowd the first day of camp. First, 13 or 14 are open to the public.
Yep.
And you can register jaguars.com/events, register for all the practices at once. Or
share a little neat story, JP, that Dave just shared about Austin Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Austin's this kind of a mystery guy. You know, I don't think 2 years ago nobody thought he'd be the starter or right tackle. They got here, he was listed at guard, and Austin, and you've been around Austin, 6'7" guy, and he's huge. And Dave said he looked at him on tape and thought he saw some good things. And then when he met him, he looked up and he's like, who put you at guard? You know, I mean, because it just doesn't fit. So they kind of got the thought last offseason, if he's going to make the team, he's going to have to play tackle and guard. He wasn't going to be in just one spot. So they started working him at tackle, and he's really a guy that, in the Jaguars situation, the way they were building last year, that you needed to have happen. You've got to have guys that you don't draft and don't sign as free agents mm-hmm. who develop into guys you can count on. You can't draft the entire roster. So all of a sudden, when they had the shakeup where they traded Monroe, and then Luke got hurt and needed a right tackle, it sort of became a deal where George Yarno at the time and everybody who's making the decisions just sort of said, yeah, let's put Austin out there. And there wasn't a worry about it. It wasn't a big commotion over who you're going to put out there. It just sort of felt right. And that's sort of the way you want it to happen, right, where you've got a guy who you've worked with and is comfortable, and then he sort of slides into a spot and it works. So sort of a neat story about Pastor in that he wasn't drafted. He was brought in an old regime. He's had to prove himself all along.
Sure.
And now it looks like he's got a very real chance to play his way into a career here.
Jaguars.com Live, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, senior NFL columnist, making his way towards the north end zone of the practice field.
And he just comes strutting up, doesn't he?
Here he comes. You'll see him in motion, actually, here in a moment. JP Shadrick with John Osier. Glad you're with us today. First training camp practice of 2014. Pete, come on in between us right in the middle here. Yeah, we'll do that again.
All right.
We'll just get down here.
Hey,
Pete.
All right.
You can do that again. You can do that again. It's unbelievable.
Thanks for your time.
Enough of that from the combine?
No, you're tall now. No, you're not. All right.
This isn't the summer I got tall.
That's right.
When my dad had that talk with me.
Pete Prisco with us.
Here we go.
Biggest news to Ashley the last couple of days are the wide receivers in trouble here. Blackman arrested. East Sanders out for 4 games. What do you make of this on a national level?
It's a cursed position. It's unbelievable. Think about the history of the position in this franchise. Dating back to Andre Rison, people always forget that one. I mean, all the problems he had. And Jimmy and Reggie Williams and Matt Jones. I mean, on and on. It's a cursed position. But look, Justin Blackman's not on the team anyways. I don't care. They can talk all they want about him being on the roster. He's not on the team. They weren't counting on him being on the field. That one doesn't matter. If it was me, I cut him, get rid of him, move on. I know they want to try and help the kid, but come on, he's an embarrassment to the franchise right now. And Ace Sanders, that one surprised me a little bit, but look, guys have issues. You better correct them. Your life expectancy in this league is very long.
We've been around each other a long time. Has there been a darker day for you than when they cut Andre? You're a big Andre guy back in the day.
You know, somebody
leaned on him a lot now.
He was a good source back in the day. Some of my best Andre memories are when he used to reach behind him and pull out his football cards and say how much better he was than Jerry Rice.
I used to go through it.
I got stats.
He did. Yep, he was a heck of a player.
Now, I always talk when I talk about wide receivers that it's hard to expect a lot from rookies. It's a position that I think most fans think you can come in and play right away. They've seen the guy catch 97 balls in college and forget what a transition is. First of all, why is that so tough? And then second of all, are these two guys who can overcome that and at least be productive as rookies?
The reason it's tough is the run-and-shoot principles. Everybody, remember, I was a big run-and-shoot guy. Everybody killed the run-and-shoot, and everybody uses the run-and-shoot principles now, which means you read on the run. And so you're thinking more than you're reacting. And Calvin Johnson caught 48 passes his first year. I mean, if that's not a lesson in how it takes time for a rookie receiver to step in and contribute, I don't know what is. So it's, you don't play fast. You play thinking. And when you play thinking, you're not going to put up a lot of numbers.
And it's almost universal, right? If you look at rookie stats, I think Bolden had a huge rookie year. There are guys who have done it, which
AJ Green and Julio Jones both had really good rookie years, and it's starting to change a little bit because you know why? Because the game in the college game has become more and more like the NFL game, where they're thinking and reacting, reading the coverage, but they just don't see as many coverages.
Right, but it's tough to depend on those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And think that they're going to be the core of the offense, which I guess is one of the main challenges facing this offense right now.
If you think Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson are going to give you Calvin Johnson numbers, you're out of your mind. You know, if they give him first-year Calvin Johnson numbers, 48 catches, that's a good year for those guys.
And that would help this offense. It would be a good thing.
Because, you know, Cecil's going to come back. He's probably not a number one receiver, but he's a good number two. And if those guys can take time to develop why he's still contributing to making catches, then I think that's a good thing for the offense. You got to get the tight end involved, too, more. I mean, that guy's got to start putting up numbers.
Pete Prisco with us, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist, Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp quarterback. Today, Dave Caldwell spoke with some writers. John, you were in there. And basically said, yeah, Chad's the guy, but if something happens, then Blake Bortles would be the guy. But you're a Blake Bortles guy right now, right?
Well, it's not that I think he's going to go in there if he went in right now and would win 8 games, but I don't think Chad Henne's going to win 8 games. I don't think this team's going to win 8 games. So here's the problem. Let's just say, for the sake of the argument, they're 4-4. They're not going to take him out. Let's say they're 6-7. They're not going to take him out. They're going to think that they can make a run to get to the playoffs. And we've seen that around here, right, over the years. So I just think what you do then is you delay the inevitable. And it's not just here. It's in Cleveland. It's in Minnesota. If you draft that guy, okay, even if he's not ready to play, he might not be ready to win, okay, but he might be ready to learn. Mm-hmm. And if you're ready to learn, you play him. And everybody says, well, the psyche of the quarterback, if you break him, if you break his psyche, then you drafted the wrong guy.
All right. There's a big part of me that agrees with that. But then you hear the argument, well, the 49ers did with Kaepernick. And they had a quarterback who was functioning, clearly, got into the championship game, and then they let it sort of happen organically. They let it, you know, there was still a little bit of a hubbub when it happened, but it happened naturally. Is this similar to that, or what's the difference in that? Why wouldn't that
work? Well, that team was significantly better than this team, and this team is building to something that team had already built to it. So they, you know, when it was time for Kaepernick to go in, they were there. And I know people say, well, that's why you wait to put him in. I don't buy that. I just think, let's just say, isn't this all about 2015 for this team, in this regime? Isn't that their target date?
Sure.
Should be. Year 3, right? So let's just say, for the sake of the argument, that Bortles plays none this year. None. Plays minimal snaps and backup duty. Then what happens next year? Does he step in without any experience? And now you're asking the guy to go in and play. Oh, yeah, he knows the practice field pretty well, but he has no game. And every quarterback says you have to know the game.
Don't you think, Pete, though, that this feels like a preseason storyline that's going to be a talked about thing for half the season. And then at some point in the second half of the season, it'll sort of feel like the right time. Or no, I mean.
But again, if they're 4-4 or 6-7 and he's, you know, maybe he's not put up great numbers, but they're competing in games, they're not going to take him out. A team, if you're 4-4, you're going to tell your team, look, we're taking him out now. That's the end. We're putting the quarterback in now for the future. That's hard to do. Now,
they would argue that's a good problem to have, though.
Right, but the Giants did that at one point. They pulled out Kurt Warner at 4-4 and put in Eli Manning.
Right.
So, again, I just think you delay it. If you draft a guy, you play him. Put him in there. And everybody goes back to David Carr. You know this as well as anybody. If David Carr had waited to year three, he was still going to be David Carr. It's not about, you know, what you are on the field that moment. It's about who you are as a quarterback. And I just think you need to be able to play with live bullets.
There would seem to be a couple of factors here, though, that would make it beneficial for Blake to wait in the sense that he has talked in the offseason about there are a few fundamental things that he still has to get to where it's sort of his default mode. So I could see the argument for saying, let's get that work. Let's get him feel confident that, well, 6 weeks, that's, you know.
6 weeks and some preseason games and some live hitting and everything else. I understand why people say it, but if you drafted him number 3 overall, you should play him. I tell Dave Caldwell every time I walk up to him, I go, play him, play him. That's my line. Play him.
I bet he can't wait to see you either.
Oh, he loves it. Play him. And I tell the Vikings and I tell the Browns. What? Brian Hoyer, Chad Henne, and this, I mean, come on, Chad's a good guy. Chad Henne, Brian Hoyer, and Matt Castle and that group, they're all the same. They're the same guy. You are what you are. You're not winning Super Bowls with those guys.
Pete Prisco is with us, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. 2014 training camp from the Florida Blue Practice Fields. First practice is underway behind us. Defensively on this team, out in free agency this year, got a lot of help up front, guys that can come in right away and get some depth up there too. Second line with Watson down for this camp, at least most of the camp. Linebackers, who's going to play there? Secondary, young, but they all have some experience. Overall, how's this defense for you?
I think they'll be better. They'll be much more physical. There's more depth. I mean, Sendarek Marks played way too many plays last year. He was really good, but then he got tired, so he got to cut down a number of plays. But I think getting Ziggy Hood, nice body, Red Bryant, great against the run. And, you know, people always talk about the pass rush. Part of the reason your pass rush isn't good is you can't stop the run. Well, if you start stopping the run, then it doesn't really matter. You can come at him a variety of different ways with different people and different looks. You'll get sacks. So I think stopping the run with a guy like Red Bryant, who's fantastic against it. I mean, he's huge. He's hard to move. And then you can start getting some sacks. So I think they'll be better up front. I still worry about the linebacker. I think linebacker speed is an issue for me. And that's why I think the kid from Florida State, Telvin Smith, will be in the mix somehow, some way. And then the back end, I don't like the idea, and I know they're thinking about doing this, playing two strong safeties. This is a league where your safeties should be two free safeties who can tackle, not two strong safeties. Now, I think Cyprian has free safety tendencies. I'm worried about having two guys that are very similar in Guy and Cyprian playing strong safety.
On the defensive front, Pete, you mentioned it. I wonder if they yet have that guy as a pass rusher. But that's something a franchise sort of has to develop into, isn't it? It's hard to get a guy who's, you know.
Sack, fumble, game over in the fourth
quarter. Yeah, I mean, and those guys are rare, so it's not uncommon not to have one.
Seattle won a Super Bowl without that.
Right.
I mean, because if you really think about it, the guy who was their sack, fumble, fourth quarter guy is here now.
Right.
And they won by throwing a bunch of different guys at you. I mean, they had waves of guys, and that's
right.
What I think they're trying to emulate.
That's interesting, because you're a pass rush guy, so you think it's okay to go at it in waves, to go at it with a team
approach. Still think I'd rather have that guy. I'd rather have Jadeveon Clowney,
right,
at, you know, rushing the passer from the right end spot. It's still that guy. That
right.
guy is like the other guy in the quarterback. He cures a lot of the other ills.
Well, then you have to game plan for him.
Right.
And it changes everything.
And
you
then
do
everybody else gets one-on-ones. He's not,
right.
He's getting double. We come to the line of scrimmage against the Jaguars now. Who are you doubling?
Right.
I mean, if Clemens is Clemens from a couple years ago, you might double him, but who else do you double?
Right.
Pete Prisco is with us. Last couple of minutes with you, Pete. A true expectation for this team this year for you.
Just be better. I don't think it's going to matter. Wins and losses isn't going to matter. Fans got to get that out of their heads. I think this team will be better, significantly better than a year ago, but might not win as many, many, many more games. So just progress, and you'll see it. Be competitive in the fourth quarter. Maybe not win 8 games, because people think they're going to win 8 games. They're crazy. They're not winning 8 games. But be competitive in the fourth quarter and maybe win 5 or 6 games and take the step forward. And then 2015, number 5's under center, and you go from there. And then if he's not the guy, you draft another one. It's not like the old days. If you drafted a guy, you had him 5 years, mega contract. That's why it's even better to play him right away. You can find out right away, get him out of there.
Right.
If you don't have him.
Pete, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll get back down below you.
All right, Pete, we appreciate it.
Next time I'm getting on a box.
So will we.
Guys, take care.
Briscoe joining us. Jaguars.com live. Single game tickets available. Visit Jaguars.com for 3D seat views and more. Also available through Ticketmaster.com or calling the Jaguars ticket office 633-2000. Home schedule's awesome, of course. The Steelers, Giants, Dolphins, Browns. The three divisional teams are here. That Dallas game, though, is at Wembley Stadium in London. Pete Briscoe. We're a little taller than him.
And, you know, he's just so shy about what he thinks. I wish he would just sort of clarify his opinion a little more, but we'll work on it. Now, but he made some good points, and there is that argument, do you play the quarterback right away? And there are people who feel that the way Pete does, that you have to put the guy in. I'm more of the belief that the franchise drafts the guy. They know what they want from him. This is any franchise. This is the way they're going to handle Manziel, whoever. You've got to bring the guy in, see what he is, see what your franchise is. I think Dave Caldwell said it best. They'll put him in when he's ready and when the team is ready for it to happen. Now, when is that? I don't know. But I guarantee you, I'll bet there'll be a discussion about it more than once a week between Dave and Gus.
I think so.
And what I'm getting at is it's going to be something they monitor. It's going to be the front end priority the whole time. So they'll do it when the time is right. But they've also got to look at Blake and realize – if they get the sense of, hey, he's just not ready to go week one and it's going to be a bad experience, but we see reasons that it would be better the next month, then I think you owe it to him to not play him week one if that's the way you truly feel.
What are you following today out here at practice, and what will we see in your writing?
Well,
today?
Hopefully improvement, right? In the writing. No, I mean, Blake will talk today, and Blake Bortles is the story today, how he feels coming in, what he wants out of these first few weeks. He's the obvious story. Chad talked yesterday. I'll be writing a little something off what we talked about with Dave Caldwell. That'll be interesting.
Yes.
It'll probably go up in the morning. Some of his thoughts. Dave doesn't talk a lot during the season. He defers to Gus. So a chance to talk to Dave Caldwell today and get some of his thoughts on the roster as he goes in, that'll be what I'm looking forward to writing.
We'll follow your tweets, and you can have the Cover It Live app on the screen right now. We'll have updates there as well all day. John, thanks a lot.
Thanks, JP.
Well done. John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com. Put your group together for the best game day experience in the NFL at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform, including Spa Cabana's special group ticket pricing, extensive corporate hospitality, and customized group experiences. Reserve your group experience today. Jaguars.com/groups. Jaguars.com live continues from 2014 training camp. Final few minutes here with the senior correspondent Brian Sexton. You know, my question for you is: this whole weekend has a gigantic feel to it,
right?
Opening of a really important training camp for this organization. Not that any aren't, but this is very important moving forward. Tomorrow, the friendly with Fulham and DC United. The scoreboard unveiling. The concert. Has there been a more important weekend on both sides of the building in franchise history? Football
probably
and business?
Not. I mean, you have to go back to 95 when everything was new, and I don't think it's fair to make the comparison because that was the very first. I mean, that was the season of firsts. It was inaugural. Since then, no, I don't think there has been. You know, there has not been such a huge transformation in the building since those Super Bowl years. Those 2 years that they were building the Super Bowl, you know, the stadium and getting it all ready, the Jaguars weren't a contender, so it didn't really relate.
Yeah.
No, this is as big a weekend as we've seen here since the inaugural weekend.
You had a chance to see have you seen the boards in action yet?
I was not here last night when they did it for the folks, but I was out there yesterday, and I saw a lot of what they were doing. So I haven't seen the full-blown presentation, but I've seen a lot of what it's capable of doing.
Pretty awesome.
Camp unbelievably awesome.
It's going to be awesome between the soccer game and the Carrie Underwood concert on Saturday. There are tickets available, Jaguars.com, Ticketmaster.com, and 633-2000 to call the Jaguars ticket office. Now, for this camp.
Right.
Biggest theme of this camp. What is the biggest storyline out of this camp?
Well, I said in Inside the Jaguars yesterday that it's hope, because really for the first time since 2007, you can look at this team and have some hope for what they could do. I mean, last year, if you had any objectivity at all, I mean, if you knew football, you could see that this was just a lean roster. And with the schedule that was presented to it, it was going to be a real challenge to be competitive. And, of course, that played out the first half of the season. So rather than just use the same old recycled hope, which I used yesterday, I'm going to call it anticipation. Because I think everybody who's sitting out here in these stands and people who are watching right now or following the blog or any of the stories that we'll be doing, they anticipate a better football team. They anticipate seeing some of these guys that Dave Caldwell brought in either through the draft or free agency making their team better. And I think they anticipate winning some games. And based on 4-4 over the final 8 games last year, I don't see why that's unreasonable.
Brian Sexton is with us, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com. On the field itself, what's the most intriguing camp battle to you?
Well, to me, it's Demetrius McCray and Alan Ball. And I thought from the beginning that that would be a battle, even though Ball returns as the starter, because McCray has such obvious physical talents. And he showed us glimpses of those, really on special teams, because that's where we saw him in Seattle last year with the tackles and the pass breakups and just the breathtaking plays he made in the preseason in Atlanta last year. He's a guy with the length and with the athletic ability of a Richard Sherman kind of player. And we all know that that's what Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley are looking for in their secondary. So to see that guy come out season through the off-season workouts and time on the field and with the coaches, I'm going to be watching him. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Jeremy Harris also. You know, here's a guy who...
a guy who was banged up all last year.
Yeah, was on injured reserve but had a chance to practice, had a chance to work throughout the course of the spring. And he's another guy like McCray with the physical attributes that Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell want in their corners. And, you know, I watch him, and it's remarkable, even though he didn't play last year, how comfortable and smooth he looks. It's almost as if he was able to practice week in and week out. So that speaks to what he was able to do with his college coach, who's now his position coach, Dwayne Walker.
Yeah, and for me, it's offensive line. How does this new group, who really haven't played together, how do they mesh? Who plays right guard? Because if that doesn't go well, then the passing game doesn't go well, the running game doesn't go well, and it starts from left all the way over to right, a group that really hasn't been together.
Yeah, and we put a lot of the pressure on Zane Beatles to be the needle that threads all of that together, and I think he'll do some of that. But a guy that naturally has to take over is Mike Brewster. And, he's got 10 starts at left guard, little at right guard, none at center. He's stepping in for Brad Meester. And so now his opportunity is to show that he's the leader of that line. He knows the calls. Luke Butkus told us yesterday when he sat with the media that, he was very confident that Mike Brewster knew exactly what to do. All right, now, here's the next step. Does Mike Brewster know what every other job, every other assignment on every other play is? Does he know the offense completely? That's the mark of a great center. And I'm not suggesting that he either is or will be or even has to be, but he's a guy who, if he wants to be, will do that.
Water break behind us. After this 5-minute break for the team, they'll be out in teamwork. And our coverage will conclude here on Jaguars.com. Pads go on Sunday for the first time. Pads and shorts. I think full pads are next week, Wednesday or sometime. So the first couple of days here, with your expert eye, what are you trying to see here?
Well,
out of players, speed, being in the right place.
The big guys you can't really watch. No. I mean, it's still too early for them. So for guys like Harrison McCray, I'm watching their backpedal. Do they get too far out in front of their feet, or are they balanced? Where's their head? Is it bobbing or is it steady? Are they looking? Are they following the coaching? You know, if you watch these coaches and listen to them, it gives you a really good clue as to what you should be looking for in a good corner. Now, when you look at the corners, you also want to know when they blow the whistle and it's time to turn and run, how fluid are they? Do they have to stop and start running, or can they just turn those hips and roll and run? And so you're looking for things like that with receivers. You know, are they sharp with their cuts, or do they kind of wander on their routes? All of these things are what we focus on until the pads go on. And when the pads go on, we find out who the men are. Who are those guys who are willing to give a hit and take a hit in order to win a roster spot?
Thanks as always, Brian. Well done.
Happy to do it.
Brian.
By the way, we're live on Jaguars.com all practice long, blogging, polls, pictures, the whole 9 yards.
You're kind of running the ship over here, aren't you?
Well, I did for the first time in 20 years find a way to get a seat during training camp under a tent. So for that, I commend myself.
Congratulations. Brian Sexton, senior correspondent, joining us. As he said, stay tuned on Jaguars.com. The live chat will be going all practice. We'll have a coverage after practice from the locker room as well. John Osier is furiously typing as we speak. And follow Twitter as well, at Jags Voice, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Our thanks to Felix McGass from Fulham Football Club and to Pete Prisco. Thanks to you for watching Jaguars.com Live.